This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the new look Midweek Fix with me, Jamie Holm. The Midweek Fix is brought to you in association with Siena Steps. Now, you may have heard us mention last week, and you may have guessed from some of the new graphics that we have on the screen. We're going to be testing our new setup tonight ahead of the new season. The idea behind all of this and all the work that Gav has put in behind the scenes is that the shows that we put out will be better for you, the viewer. We want to make it more engaging visually. So please do let us know what you think in the comments as we go through the show. Gav will be working hard in the background, producing the show to hopefully make sure everything runs smoothly. Now, tonight's show, we're going to touch on a few things. There's been lots in the news this week about Liverpool. So firstly, we're going to start off with the preseason games and some of the big talking points that come off the back of those. Then there's been a lot of headlines around Liverpool and their contract situations of a number of key players. And are we soon to be seeing a changing of the guard within this current Liverpool squad? And then finally, the big transfer story that's been broken today is that Liverpool are interested in Jarrod Bowen of West Ham, surprisingly, for a number of people. So we're going to give our reactions and look a little bit deeper into him as a player and see, does he actually fit the profile that Liverpool are after? So we've got lots to get through, as you may have guessed. So I'm delighted to say, joining me tonight to discuss it all, we have Keith, Phil and James from the Red Sea Podcast. Gents, how are you liking the new setup? Keith, we've gone up in the world.
Oh, we have, Jay. We have. It looks great. You know what I mean? We've warned the viewers that we're going to be launching this. So forgive us for any little glitches that may happen. Not that there will be, you know. Gav has worked very hard on this, and I think it looks great. You know, the bits we've seen, the sneak peeks we've had at it, I think it looks the business, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the show progresses and what the people think about it.
Good stuff. Phil, how things for you, mate? You well?
Oh, good. Yeah, no, it looks great. I was given some feedback last week about my lighting, and I can promise as the season goes on, I'm going to sort my shit out, because been living in this house for long enough and the spare room is still in an absolute jock. So I have plans to get it sorted and get a better lighting system and some actual football memorabilia behind me, all those scarves and jerseys I have upstairs. So
there you go.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen, because we got a little sneak peek before we started. It looks class, like. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Good man. And James, welcome back, mate. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, good to be here, mate. Obviously, get acquainted with you guys a little bit more as the season progresses. Obviously, I'm sure the viewers are well aware. Myself and my co-host will be doing all your match reactions going forward for the rest of the season. And it is an absolute pleasure to be here tonight representing the Red Sea Podcast, who have just launched our own YouTube channel now. So if you guys in the comments and out there feel to, in your hearts, to give us a like and a subscribe, please do, because you can catch us on at the Red Sea Podcast on all the socials. That's Twitter, Instagram, we even got TikTok now.
Covering all bases.
Yeah. We're trying.
Trying our little dances and all that is.
Yeah, listen, I kid you not, we've done a Kill It Dead in Sliders challenge, and it went viral. So we've had a few people, nice. A few international entries as well. So I was in the garden, as I used to do as a child, throwing the ball up as high as I can against the wall and trying to kill it dead with my touch. And yeah, one time, and I did it straight away, and I was in my sliders, and my missus said, "Why don't you video that?" And I was like, "All right." And
oh yeah, the missus said that, did she? Yeah. You definitely come up with that idea. The missus said it.
So, someone got involved though, didn't they, Jamie? Who put me to the sword? Tell all the viewers.
Yeah, my 9-year-old son. So he constantly embarrasses me on the football pitch. So I thought I'd just share the embarrassment, mate. And he did a little bit of skill, plucking the ball out of the sky with a back heel. Sorry, mate, I couldn't resist.
yeah, no, it's all right. I'll take my medicine, and I'm going back to the drawing board. I'm sure I'm going to come up with something again. So I'll rise to any challenge. So you can tell your son it's game on.
You'll look forward to it, mate. Now, we're going to fast forward a little bit to the Reds, because I don't know if you're like me, it was great to see the Reds back in action this week. Unusually, yeah. Keith, it was a little bit brief in that we were playing two games back to back, 30 minutes apiece. What did you make of it? It's a new one, seeing the two separate teams play two 30-minute matches.
Yeah, it was different, as you said. I know preseason games in general are never intense, and it's probably an interesting way of doing it. You know, two 30-minute games, we've got the lineup there from the first game, and we can see, you know, that there's obviously some big names missing, and this game certainly had a lot of youthful players in there, the midfield especially, made up of Jay Kane, Leighton Clarkson, and who don't know Martin's first name, but Owen Beck is in there at left full as well. But it was interesting to see Cade Gordon playing up front on the right wing for Liverpool, because he's a very, very highly rated player, and it was good to see him getting a run out. And you know, even though it's only a 30 minute stint, you know, for the young lads, I think it's short enough to just get out there and maybe get a feeler and get eased into the action. I think it was a good way of doing it for those lads.
Yeah, Phil, you tweeted something in the week. It's like, what can you learn from these games? And I'd be a big advocate. I think I tweeted before the game started, you know, you can't read too much into preseason, because ultimately, particularly these first ones, are glorified fitness exercises. But like Keith said, you know, I think Gordon did himself, real justice. I think his first touch, he looked really bright. He was aggressive. And the big thing for me is that Ben Davies exists. We actually got to see him kick football for Liverpool, which is a new one. Yeah.
Anyone who bought their Ben Davies jerseys can wear them proud now. He's played for Liverpool. And great to see Joe Matip in there with them, and obviously Trent Alexander-Arnold. So that team, the back four, obviously was the strongest part of it. But Gordon definitely deserves a mention. Showed some nice touches, obviously, cut inside and got himself a free kick in a dangerous position, which Trent, obviously, he kind of thought, geez, it would be great now if Trent just put this in the top corner. It went slightly over, but Origi, by the way, that was never a penalty, but
not a hope.
No VAR, so you take them, but you can't take too much out of them. I actually think there's I find with some of these games, there's more negatives than positives, because there were certain players I was disappointed on, even though it's only half an hour and you don't know what condition they're in. You don't know, for example, if Minamino's legs were like lead going into that game yesterday because he's done so much running in the last few days. We don't know. We don't, like, obviously the Liverpool medical team and the tracking system, they know exactly all the coverage they've done in the last few weeks of preseason. We don't know. So it's very hard to judge. But the real positive for me was seeing Joe Matip back and Ben Davies, because we spoke about him last week. We feel that he's going to get in. And then Karius just brought back nightmares for me. and I don't know. Like, I thought he should have done better in the goal. I thought when he shifted straight over to his post, where he didn't have to do that. He could have shifted over, not all the way to the post, and maybe he could have got to the one in the corner, in the other corner. But what always reminds me of Karius when he conceded goals was he almost just stretches his arms out and says, "What can I do, lads? What can I do?"
Yeah, it brought back bad memories for me, and I think it's an impressive feat to make an error in a 30-minute game off the back of the errors that he's made for the club. But to be fair to him, look, I don't want to throw too much shade his way. He made a great in the game. So I'm not going to be too critical. James, I'll come to you because I think one of the things as well, when you look at these games, and Phil touched on it there in terms of we don't know where these players are at fitness-wise. One thing we do know is that Wacker were a lot further, well, both teams were a lot further down their fitness journey than Liverpool. I think they're 1 or 2 weeks away from returning to competitive action, whereas Liverpool are only just back into pre-season training. So, you know, when you look at these type of games, it's difficult to read too much into individual performances off the back of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I urge the sort of fan base to take it with a pinch of salt. It's a 30-minute game. You often see the fanfare on Twitter, everyone going mental, going, oh, Karius again up to his old mistakes and so on and so forth. I'm like, give the lad a break. It's a 30-minute nothing game. Ultimately, when it's all said and done, after 30 minutes, what can you really take from that? All I think it's just a nice ease in to the season, get into the swing of things, see who's sort of digesting what's being exchanged in the tactical elements of the pre-season, and just really to get the boys a run out and start to say, look, we slowly build the intensity. The big one, you know, essentially the main game is going to come on Friday, which is going to be a full, it's going to be a full 90, isn't it? And that's where you might start to see little patterns of play emerging. You start to see who's really on it, who's really starting to get up to speed a lot quicker. But I ain't really fussed about a 30-minute game. I think Karius was unlucky, to be fair. He's come over to the near post, like you said. Could he have remained a little bit more central, anticipated the knockback across goal or the header to the far post? Yeah, probably. But it's one of them ones, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the scars just run deep for a lot of people with Karius. So it's difficult to say. It's just one of them when there's a good few of them in the back catalogue. Now, if we move on to the next game, because there's probably some more noticeable players in this one. And Keith, I'll come to you. Canate obviously making his debut is the one that's gonna get all the headlines. And it's some interesting positional changes for some players that we'll come on to. But we'll start with Canate, who I think the one thing that stood out for me in the limited game time was you got a couple of examples of his absolutely rapid pace. There was one, his recovery run, he blew the lad away, which is good to see.
Yeah, Canate is a player that excites me, Jamie, to be honest. I've been a fan of his for a while. Sound like a wanker when you say that, you know what I mean? Oh, I'm a fan of the Leipzig defenders and all, but genuinely, I said on a pod last summer that I preferred Canate over Upamecano, and I got lashed out in the comments. But I think he's an excellent player, and I think what his attributes are so suited to us, he's quick. He's a big unit like Van Dijk. He's quick across the ground, but he's good with the ball. You know, I think he's the profile what we were looking for when we were getting linked with all these centre backs in January, and it was, you know, Kolasinac is good distribution and Sven Botman good distribution and such was quick and such was big and strong. Well, he's everything, and I always felt he was our main target in January, and when we couldn't get him because we played Leipzig, it was a case of just patching in what we could, and that's why we got Quebec. So I was looking forward to seeing him. It's only his first pre-season game. It was only a 30-minute game, but really, really impressed with him. And this team, as you said, it's a much stronger team. You know, even like Adrian in goal, we all know, you know, Karius gives us nightmares. Adrian's not too far behind. But young Conor Bradley played at right back. Other than that, it was a very experienced team. But I want to touch on Tsimikas as well, Jamie. I thought Tsimikas was excellent in the little cameo we got from him. And he's a player that hasn't been able to show us what he's made of. And I think that's down to, you know, he got COVID, he had a bad injury, he had a couple of niggly injuries. And then the fact that we'd lost so many players, you know, centre-backs, it just put the pressure on Robertson that we couldn't really rest him. And I think Tsimikas just was unfairly criticised, maybe. And into the summer, people were writing him off and, oh, he's out the door. But I don't think that's the case. I think he's highly rated. And any little cameo I've seen of him, he looks decent. So, yeah, I thought this team, at the back, I thought, yeah, Reece Williams, a lot to learn, but I think he looked okay. But it was up front, the main player that sort of excited me anyway was Harvey Elliott, and getting to see Harvey Elliott playing is something that I'm hoping we'll see a lot more of this season. I hope he stays with the squad. I hope he's not sent out on loan. But he's just a player that, you know, if he played for any other team, we'd be raving about him. Because he's with us, we look for excuses. Not to knock him down, we're not like that, but, you know, we look for excuses to say, oh, but we need someone better, we need someone more experienced. Well, Man City didn't need someone more experienced with Phil Foden, and other teams with young players will give them a chance. I would like to see Harvey Elliott getting a chance this year, staying around the squad and just getting, you know, 10, 15 games, whether they're off the bench or the odd start here and there. I think it'll aid his development better than going out on loan.
Absolutely. And Phil, staying with Harvey Elliott, because I suppose there's been some interesting quotes that have come out of Klopp this week. One in particular, he said that Harvey, whilst he'd been at Blackburn, had made some big steps. And I think it's time for us to take the next big steps together. That quote in itself is telling in exactly where Harvey Elliott could fit into this squad in the next season.
Yeah, absolutely. It excites Liverpool fans when you hear Klopp talking about it, because it sounds like he's ready to give him his chance. Now, his chance mightn't be, he's not going to be a regular, but we saw with Curtis Jones last season that, you know, he showed he was good enough to play in the first team. But there's just a real buzz about Elliott when he gets on the ball, where, you know, he just has that energy where, and he's not afraid to try something. Okay, he gave the ball away a few times, but you know what? His head doesn't drop. He tried it again. There was one ball that he played in behind where he put a bit of check spin on it for Salah, and he just looks like he has that array of passes, and he's got a rocket of a shot in him as well, and so young. And it can only be a good thing that he is going to be with the first team, and he's just going to get better. Obviously, in training, he's going to be going up against better defenders. He's going to have to learn how to get space, how to find more space when you're playing against better players and players that sit in deep. But yeah, I think we knew when Liverpool signed Harvey Elliott, he was a serious talent, and not always, doesn't always translate where players fulfill that potential, but he's certainly in the right team, the right club, and he's got the right manager to bring out the best in him. And yeah, I think we're going to be excited by Harvey Elliott this season.
Definitely. And Gav, if you can pull up the stats, it's basically comparing Harvey Elliott to other teenagers across the Premier League and the EFL. He ranks the highest in terms of goal involvements for last season. And I think, James, you know, when you look at maybe some of the games that Liverpool come unstuck in last season, you know, where we basically seem to play the same game for what felt like the best part of three months, Harvey Elliott is exactly the type of player, or somebody like a Harvey Elliott, that can drift from left to right, that can pick up pockets, you know, in behind the strikers and look to create. And when you look at the range of the assists and the quality of the passes that he's able, like Phil said, that he's able to provide, it's going to be some asset to have going into the next season.
Do you know what, Jamie? I totally agree. And maybe he's that little bit of X factor, that little bit of something that we've been missing. Like you said, all too often we've looked a little bit one-dimensional, when there was a period of last season going into that season where fans were saying maybe we've been worked out, maybe Klopp's formula isn't working anymore because the results just weren't coming. Obviously, we stuck with the process and we were vindicated in that decision, because ultimately we finished a close run third and only 5 points behind Manchester United. And given the season which we had, you would take that. But just sticking with Harvey Elliott, you know, what a talent. You know, I was on a pod earlier on, and also yesterday we were talking about Harvey Elliott and potential mistakes that have been made in the past with players like, you know, Harry Wilson, who arguably was on the same trajectory as Harvey Elliott at the same age. And Liverpool loaned him out. You know, he had a successful loan period with Derby, came back, went to Bournemouth, wasn't the best loan period, came back, went out to Cardiff and arguably didn't produce. I just think that Liverpool are looking to do this a little bit different. You know, they're looking at examples of what we've got in the squad at the moment. You know, a certain Mo Salah in there, someone he can learn from. You know, players like Thiago, someone that he can learn from. You know, you've got Jordan Henderson, club captain, someone that he can learn from. And are we looking to keep Harvey Elliott around to nurture him and build him into what we want, which is what I like to refer to as Liverpool 2.0 going forward? There's no coincidence that his stats are at the top of the tree when you look at his performances from the Championship last season. I mean, I watched, and I do watch quite a bit of Championship football, and I did look out for his games. And at Blackburn, he was absolutely electric. picking up the ball in deep areas and committing defenders. Realistically, last season, if we look at our team, who in our team from deep areas was doing that? I can't think of one person that was picking the ball up and really committing defenders, because we were all too scared about what was going on behind us because of the, you know, the lack of consistency with the back four. And it just didn't allow players to go and play with that freedom that we're used to. If we can get a kid in there that isn't scared, doesn't really care about reputations, and it just wants to go out and perform, that's a really, really dangerous combination. I'm super excited to see what this kid can do going forward. I really, really am.
There's a couple of comments that were in the chat there about Elliot's perceived lack of pace. And I can say this with confidence, having played against a number of players like this over the years. If you've got game intelligence, you make up for the lack of pace in your ability to take a first touch around a corner, to use your body to manipulate the ball away from your opponents. And if you look at the variety of the assists that Harvey Elliott has been able to bring to Blackburn across the last season, I think he could be somebody that could fit into the squad in position of the likes of a Shaq. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how he develops under Klopp, because I just think it's the perfect time for him to be able to flourish and get some quality game time, because ultimately we don't want him sat there on the bench not getting game time. He's going to get ample opportunity. And there's another player, and I'm going to come to you on this one, Phil. There's another player that has been making the headlines in the lead up to this game and then obviously post-game, and that's Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. There's been a lot made of his position in the squad. Is he on the latter stages of his time at Liverpool? Should he be moved on? Is there a place for him in the Liverpool squad? And if we pull up on social media, there was a quote that came up in the lead up to this game, and it was very much around how much Ox has impressed coaches in training, in that kind of more advanced number 10 role, and will be considered for that role or wide forward roles in the coming season. And then we obviously got to see him operating as a false nine last night. And Klopp came out off the back of the game and said you could see quite clearly after a few minutes that he's a definite option, in that kind of false nine role. Do you buy into Klopp's thinking there? Do you see him as a viable option for that position in the absence of, let's say, a Bobby Firmino?
Well, I mean, who am I to argue with Jurgen Klopp? If Klopp sees it in him, then he's obviously doing something right. Obviously, it's a little bit of an adjustment for him. There's going to be times when he's got his back to goal. That's not easy. I think we see the best of Oxlade-Chamberlain when he's eating up ground, running towards goal and unleashing that thunderous shot that he has. And obviously he's played in the front three before on the right, and it hasn't really worked for him, but it's so few games that the sample space is so small that it's very hard to judge him. Like, his best games for Liverpool have been part of the midfield three. I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the best game he's ever played for Liverpool was that Atletico game. Ultimately, Liverpool got knocked out of the tie, but he was sensational that night, and he obviously got taken off. He ran himself into the ground, but that is the Oxlade-Chamberlain that you want to see more often. But if there is an option to play in a further role, more advanced role, Klopp could be onto something there, because, look, I don't think anyone's going to argue that Firmino hasn't hit the heights that he did a couple of seasons ago. I would definitely think Firmino is technically a better player. So when you fizz balls into that 10 area, I think Firmino is able to take care of the ball a lot better than Oxlade-Chamberlain. But if Oxlade-Chamberlain can get into those positions and get turned and he's closer to goal, then we know what he can do. And maybe that's the thinking for Klopp, that he has this unbelievable strike in him. And you saw last night as well, he played a lovely ball in for Salah, which surprises all, where Salah didn't actually put it away. But yeah, it's about just creating other options, because we've talked about how basically the front three were stopped last season. If we've got other options in other parts of the pitch, then the front three also get freed up. They get more space and they start to shine again. So I definitely am going to watch this one in interest. I know you're probably disappointed, because it probably shits all over that idea of him playing as a right back.
I was waiting for somebody to mention that. I'm still going to die on that hill. I think it might happen at some point. I'd agree with you, Phil. I mean, I think, like you, Atletico was probably his best game. I think there was a couple of standout performances against City in the Champions League, and I prefer him as a driving eight. I think I love midfielders that are prepared to try and beat a man, and I think the most congested areas on a football pitch are often centre midfield. So if you can have somebody that can beat a man in there, break a line and spring a march on teams, I think it's worth its weight in gold. But I do think he has some attributes, particularly I think his pressing up top. I think it was evident to see last night that he'd clearly been told to press and press high and press quickly. But like you know, there's no one better at bringing the ball down and bringing others into play like Bobby Firmino. So it'd be definitely interesting to see how that one plays out. Now, Keith, I want to come to you on a topic that has caused fire on social media this week, and this is around some strange contract situations and strange reporting, in my opinion, on contract situations from a number of outlets this week. And the first one that I want to come to is Jordan Henderson, because I think this all kind of hit us like a bolt out of the blue this week. I don't think anybody was expecting it. What have you made of all of the noises that have come out around Jordan Henderson this week? Do you think it's purely just a case of cat and mouse between agent and club? And how do you kind of expect this to play out?
Yeah, I mean, the graphic is up there, Jamie, with all the players who were out of contract at the same time in the summer of 2023. And we can see there's some big, big players in there. We spoke about this before. You know, you have Salah, Mane, Fabinho, Virgil, Bobby, Naby, Hendo, Ox, right? They're all big, important players in one way or another. I think it's just a dance between, you know...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Players up for the renewal and maybe agents probably talking. Some of the stuff that's coming out is a bit bizarre, in my opinion. I don't like to name journalists, but I think Tony Evans done something about John Henry and Brendan Rodgers saying Henderson was terrible and if I could sell him tomorrow, I would, you know, which doesn't seem like it fits with what John Henry and Brendan Rodgers' relationship was maybe like, and what John Henry in general seems like a savvy owner. It doesn't fit in with maybe how I think he operates, but I don't know. But there seems to be a certainly I wouldn't say an attack, but a revolution by the journals around Liverpool that they're not holding back on stories, you know, that may be negative. I find that it's a bit, not disrespect, it's upsetting the rhythm when we're only back in pre-season and it's throwing an unnecessary sort of grenade into the preparations, and I don't really know what the purpose is of it. Is it journalists? And look, we've got Phil on here, and Phil know a lot more about this than I would. But, you know, is it journalists? Are they not getting the information? Are they not getting fed the information from the club and they're starting to bite back? Because certain journalists haven't really said anything, and the ones that maybe do get the information are probably holding back a bit, and others are coming out in a way that they haven't done before. You know, James Pearce is coming out and saying things about Jordan Henderson's contract. Seems a bit counterproductive, but it's, if we look at it in any contract situation, there's always stories like this come out, it's always a bit of gamesmanship, a bit of brinksmanship between the player, the player's agents, the club, you know. So it could be just, you know, one day it's Salah, one day it's Hendo, it could be Virgil next, you know what I mean? We've all these important players, and I can't see Liverpool selling Jordan Henderson. I could see a situation where his contract runs out and he lays on free. That's what's looking most likely to me now. But I can't see they're going to sell him. I see Arsenal getting linked with him and things like that. That just seems bizarre to me. I think it's a worst case scenario. I think he just sees out his contract and he let him move on for free.
James, there's a comment there from Adam LFC who says it just seems like it's constant bad news from Liverpool journos at the minute. And I kind of share Keith's sentiments. I have to caveat this with Jordan Henderson is one of my favourite Liverpool players. I think you couldn't wish for a better representative of the football club, both on and off the pitch. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here. In the fact that he's got 2 years left on his contract, I think that would make him 33, would it, by the time his contract would expire there or thereabouts. Yeah. Liverpool as a club have to operate in a way that would probably see them not give long contracts out to players of that age, whether it would be anyone within the club. You might get a 1 year extension on maybe some type of reduced terms, given the fact that I think it's fair to say, as much as I love Hendo, I think he's probably got one season at full tilt, and then maybe you'd look at managing his minutes in some way, shape or form, because he has had injury problems. As much as it pains me to say, you know, we're a better team when he is on the pitch, but he's not always on the pitch. So I think, you know, the club have to look at this and be objective and say, look, coming to the end of his contract, he's 33. We have to offer him a contract that befits his position within the club, which might be on reduced terms and reduced game time. Do you think that the club would be acting inappropriately given all he's done for the club? Do you think he deserves to see out his career on it and get any terms that he asked for at this stage?
No. I think we need to stop for a moment and think about the situation that we're in. The guy's got 2 years left on his contract. Like you said, 33 when the contract comes to an end. Would it be a travesty if he walked out the door at 33 on a free? I wouldn't really be bothered at that point, because ultimately Liverpool Football Club seem, and I tweeted about this 3 days ago, that we're succession planning. We're looking at the future. We're taking a little look into that crystal ball and going, what do things look like in 3 years' time? Because let's not forget, the big elephant in the room that we all keep skirting around is Jurgen Klopp's contract ends in 3 years' time. What do we do then? So I feel the club is trying to get everything in place for a smooth enough transition that we don't end up like an AC Milan. We think about one of the greatest ever European teams in AC Milan. Every single one of their players turned 35 almost at the same time on the same day, and boom, that's it. They've never been in a Champions League since. Nowhere near it. So do we want to be that? Do we want to be that kind of club where we get sentimental and we hold on to players for a little bit too long, and before you know it, it's affecting our performance going forward? I can think of a couple of players in recent history which we gave super contracts and never really kicked a ball for us. Joe Cole being one of them, arguably was a spent force after his time at Chelsea. We brought him in thinking, you know, we can get him back up to scratch. He's going to contribute. And the lad was always on a treatment table, you know. So for us to start giving out bumper contracts to 30-somethings, I think the club are doing the right thing in terms of their diligence and saying, do you know what? Yes, Jordan, we want to keep you. Of course, the desire is there from the club to keep our club captain. And I think there would have been a conversation somewhere in a boardroom saying, well, we've got Gini Wijnaldum, who's 30, that wants to renew. And we've got Jordan Henderson, who's 30-ish, 31, that wants to renew. Who are we going to go with, guys? I think there's a decision to be made here. And I reckon the club probably backed Jordan and said, we're going to go with Jordan Henderson. He's more commercially viable for the club, you know, in that respect. He's a patron of the NHS. He's club captain. You know, all of the work that he's done in terms of his period and around the club and everything he does in terms of what he does in the community, he's the absolute poster boy for where Liverpool Football Club are at the moment. So I just feel we need to apply a little bit of diligence to this and say, look, 2 years is a long time. A lot can happen in 2 years. And if the new manager comes in, I'm sure Jordan will be someone that wants to maybe try and help usher in that new era. But he's not stupid. He's a very, very intelligent footballer. Obviously, I don't know him personally, but from what we see, he comes across as very, very intelligent. And I think he would want to be in a position where he can commit as much as he can do to Liverpool Football Club. And does he seem like the type of guy that wants to sit on the bench and play 30-minute cameos here and there? I don't think he's at that point in his career. So there's a long way to go. Let's be open-minded. But, you know, I trust Jurgen Klopp. I trust the club to a degree in their decision-making. I said it's just succession planning.
One thing, I'd jump in, Jamie, just before we move on. One thing I would say is with Jordan Henderson. Jordan Henderson is a culture setter at Liverpool, and he's similar to James Milner in the sense that, you know, even if he's got a reduced role on the field, I can't see any situation where Jurgen Klopp would want to move him on. I think contracts will be maybe 1 or 2 years at max, maybe extension, a one-year contract, rolling contract. And whether Jordan Henderson, at this point of his career, will not be interested in that. But in 2 years' time, depending on the way his body sort of, not going to say breaks down, but the way his body goes at that stage, he might be more interested in it. So I just think we can't compare them with the likes of Genie or with Emre Can before them, you know.
Yeah.
That were probably at a different stage of their career and looking for bigger terms. I think Henderson's role off the pitch is more important than a lot of other players. And everything I believe about Jurgen Klopp tells me that Jurgen Klopp will want to keep him there. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I agree with you. I think Klopp, by all, in every sense of the word, would want to keep him. I think I referenced this on a previous podcast. Damien Hughes has done a book where he focuses a lot around cultural architects in the dressing room. And I think Henderson and Milner are the perfect examples of what a cultural architect is for Liverpool. But Phil, you've got to look at this from the player's perspective as well. Whilst I understand the club's position, and the question marks over fitness and, you know, the fact that he'll be 33. You can also understand the noises coming out of Jordan Henderson's camp this week where he feels he should be offered a longer contract given all that he's done for the club. And he doesn't necessarily want to be on reduced terms given his stature and everything that he's achieved and ultimately become a glorified cheerleader, but many people have him kind of down to be.
Yeah, and I think as well, we know there's other players that are going to get tied down to long-term contracts soon enough, and maybe he's looking at them thinking, after all I've done for the club, do I not deserve to be treated in the same way? You could argue, like, you look at some of those players that are out of contract in the next couple of seasons, and, you know, if you had your priority list, I would imagine, I don't know, from my point of view, I'd be having Alisson and Van Dijk as my top two, because we've seen, as soon as they arrived at the club, look what happened. I mean, Salah was there banging in goals and it was brilliant. Van Dijk arrives, you know, the season finishes almost finishes on a high, but then Alisson comes and that's the icing on the cake. That's the goalkeeper that Liverpool were pining after for years.
I'd argue the two most transformative signings I think that Liverpool have made, the two of them.
In recent history.
In recent history, yeah, 100%.
So I think they're the priorities, but then Jordan Henderson be looking at the likes of Salah and Mane, and he thinks, you know, I'm the captain, I'm the leader of this team. And I think one thing we noticed with no fans in the stadiums last season, how vocal he is. Now, when you go to games, you can see that he's vocal, but you could really hear it. And look, there's people that are vocal on the pitch, but they're dickheads about it, where they criticise their own players and they make players nervous. Henderson, I just thought he was brilliant the way, I remember the game, the away game where Reece Williams was playing in the Champions League. And it was just, I know it sounds simple and people think he's just encouraging a young lad, but, you know, it's almost like you're holding the hand of a young lad getting through the game, and it sounds quite simple, but not everyone can do it. I just think he's a brilliant captain. I think Klopp sees a lot of his own personality traits in Jordan Henderson, and he leads by example on the pitch and off the pitch, and he's just the consummate professional. So my only concern is that this becomes a distraction, that this is 2 years down the line, but when Jordan Henderson is put up in a media situation, somebody just throws out the line, Jordan, what's the story with your contract? And he's just going to bat it away and say, look, my representatives are looking after this, so I don't want to speak about it. And you just, that would be the only concern, that you want these things to be kept under wraps and just get on with what's going on the pitch.
Keith, Gav, actually, if you can pull up the graphic that that looks at the contracts that are due to expire in the next 2 years. And Keith, I'll come to you, because a couple of other stories away from Henderson, again, around the contract theme, is obviously Mo Salah. Phil touched on him there, you know, along with Van Dijk and Alisson, you know, one of the biggest players in this club's history in terms of what he's delivered in his short time with the club. One of the telling comments that I've seen coming out in the news this week is that the club don't expect us to see us grow, you know, the likes of Mane, Salah, Firmino, to grow old together. So when you're looking at, you know, the type of players that are going to be out of contract in a couple of years, and the fact that, you know, we should be looking to keep Mo Salah and tie him down to a long contract at all costs, how do you see that playing out? Because they can't all stay around. So surely there's going to be conversations around potentially, you know, breaking up that old guard up front.
Yeah, and I suppose, as Phil said, there's going to be a priority list for who's getting the contract. And I see Fabinho's name getting a few, you know, talks of Fabinho getting contract negotiations at the moment. And that could be annoying the Henderson camp as well. You know, Fabinho's another midfield player. But when it comes to the front, we done a pod a while ago, and I'd said I would start to break up the front three, and Mane was the one I was moving on, and people got a bit annoyed about that. And I'm a huge Sadio Mane fan. I just felt that with the three of them boys all looking for new deals, Mane is going to hold the most value. Obviously, Salah is the most valuable, but you don't want to lose Salah. You're talking about then Bobby and Sadio, and I just felt that maybe it was the time to start looking at breaking it up. One to go this summer and one to go next summer, and replace them with quality, not to, you know, replace with potential. I think if you're losing these lads, you have to replace them with somebody who's ready to step in there and then and ready to go. I don't know what the club's thinking is on this, because we know the club operates within a wage budget that they give a decent base salary, but nowhere near their competitors. And then it's all heavily incentivized. Performance brings it up. And because we've been successful, it's brought it up. And our wage bill is now astronomical. So what sort of contract do you give Mo Salah? Do you know what I mean? He's on reportedly 200 a week, is it? That's in around what I think he's reported to be earning. You know, what's fair to give Mo Salah now? And is it going to be incentivized like the last contracts were? Or are the players getting to a stage now where that incentive stuff can get in the bin? Do you know what I mean? And if that's the case, it's a slippery slope, because, you know, Mo Salah, Virgil van Dijk, Alisson, Fabinho, these are all big, big players. Do you know what I mean? And I think we may need to have to pay for some of these, and that's where the problem is going to lie, because I don't think we're going to pay them all. And it's either pay them now or sell them now. Because if you let them run into a year left on their contract, we've seen how this plays out before. And maybe Henderson has fallen into the category of the least sort of priority. And they think we can do this one maybe next summer and get something done with him. And they're probably focusing on the others. But I don't know how they're going to manage it, Jamie. I seen this list a while ago. As I said, we are doing another show, and I couldn't believe the amount. The club know. When the club sign players and give contracts, they're not surprised. They're not. Michael Edwards isn't watching this tonight and going, Jesus, I didn't realise they were all up. I didn't realise these were all up together. So the club know what they're doing. The club know what's going on. But I don't know if COVID's after scuppering things, and maybe their plan was to move some of these lads on. I don't know. But I just look at that now, and I'd give every one of them a new contract and then sell them. Do you know what I mean? I'd be protecting values, and I'd be saying to Naby and Bobby and everyone else, yeah, new deal, there's improved terms. And at the same time, we'd be saying, look, we'll move them out for decent fees. We won't look for extortionate fees, but I think the club are in a bit of a pickle now with what they're going to do with the lads, because there's too many big hitters there that are going to look for big, big money. And we said, we done a show the other night, and I think Sean, he mentioned about Bayern Munich paying Leroy Sané a big, huge contract to go there. And now they've got Leon Goretzka knocking on the door saying, I want what he gets. They had Alaba, they couldn't tie Alaba down, they couldn't tie Thiago down, all because they're given one bad contract can cause the house to fall down.
I think United had similar when they offered Rashford, was it at the time? They offered him, I think it was scandalous money. And now I think they've got two goalkeepers on 300 grand a week, and it's that knock-on effect.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. It's the amount of money that, like, they, I think the killer with them was when they gave it to Sanchez, and then De Gea was in contract negotiations and he'd been their player of the year. And it's like, this fella's robbing a living here. He's getting 400 grand a week for doing nothing. I'm player of the year. I want, you know, more than that. And then you've got Pogba lining up, and you've got Rashford, and you've all these players. And it happens at other clubs. You know, Barcelona, look at the state of Barca. I think they're more like a Leeds, but, you know, when Ridsdale was in charge, because I can't imagine Antoine Griezmann and his agent went in saying they want 800 grand a week, but somehow they've come out with 800 grand a week. You know, that to me is the worst contract I've ever seen in football. I don't care if Messi takes a million a week or 1.1 million a week. He earns every penny of that. Antoine Griezmann has been stealing 800. He's 25 million in 2 years or something he's taken out of, way more than that he's taken out of Barcelona. And I just think, you know, a bad contract can really cause problems. And I think Liverpool are in a situation now where they may have to give some of these bad contracts within the house, not within everyone else. You know, if you give Mo Salah 350 a week, relative to his stature, it's not that much. But then you get the rest of them all knocking on the door, and that's where the problems will start.
Is there a possibility that the club are doing this on purpose? I think there's two elements here. I think the club are well aware, like we were saying earlier on, that these boys are all being wrapped up at the same time, and maybe it kind of rushes in the new era. It's a chance to clear the decks and looking at it going, who be ruthless. Like something's like looking at some of the comments, let's be ruthless. I think the club are going to be absolutely ruthless where they turn around and say in 2 years' time, right, who's still offering us value? Yeah, you're still offering us value. Let's renew your contract. You're still offering us value. You haven't really kicked a ball. So do you know what? You can leave on a free. We're happy to let you go. That's fine. And also, I feel that the agents are playing a cracking game, because this is the last year where they can earn big bumper fees. As of next season, it's all on reduced terms for agents. They can only earn 10%. So all the agents are jumping out of the woodwork going, we need to get our big, big assets tied down to major deals, because otherwise we're not going to earn. That's why the likes of Mino Raiola is flying Haaland's family around everywhere to try and get him sold in this window, because he knows he's going to maximise his income. I think a lot of that happens with these players as well. And an interesting fact that Kevin De Bruyne recently negotiated his new contract directly with Manchester City and sacked off his agent. So there's a lot of players doing that as well. They're binning off agents. So I think it's like you were saying, Jamie, it's a game of back and forth between the club and the agents, and all the media are doing is they're being the puppets and kind of stirring the hornet's nest to try and get a bit of reaction from someone. And whoever bites first potentially may come off worse, because Liverpool have demonstrated with Gini Wijnaldum already that we're not going to be held to ransom. If you want a certain figure and we're not prepared to pay it, then guess what? You can walk through the door. And it's unfortunate, but I think the club are starting to toe the party line of, and the famous words is that nobody is bigger than Liverpool Football Club. And, you know, it's worrying for us fans, because we love Jordan and we want him to stay, and it would be catastrophic if he was to walk through the door this summer, next summer, or any summer after that. We can't really think of a Liverpool Football Club without Jordan Henderson, but I feel the club have got other ideas.
Sorry,
just want to add on that is the market, the buyer's market is condensed now. Who can afford these players? Yeah. Basically, it's PSG, Chelsea, and Man City. Like the big two in Spain are gone now in terms of buying at the top table. They're an absolutely ruined. Keith obviously mentioned Barcelona. Real Madrid aren't quite as bad, and they always manage to get magic money out of somewhere, but no longer can they go after players. And obviously it helps that Liverpool have been so successful under Klopp. But I find now with a lot of players, especially England internationals that are talked about getting transfers, that they're getting priced out of moves. Like say the likes of Harry Kane, Jack Grealish, Declan Rice, just stupid money. Like 80 million for Declan Rice.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You're right. You're absolutely right. And I also think, and it's interesting, myself and my co-host, SS, were on Redmen this morning, and there were some great points made on there, and I'd like to reference one now, is that, you know, this year we were in the midst of talking about Super League. I reckon that more so than ever, and like we were saying earlier on, every club knows every intricate detail of everybody's finances. So everybody knows where everybody's at, and more so than we've ever known before. There would have been some detailed conversations going on over tables saying, how much money have you got in the bank? Well, you know, we're actually flat broke. And everybody knows what everybody's got. So when we're talking about selling and buying, like you say, in the market at the moment, it's the desire to sell versus the will to buy. And at the moment, the will to buy is pretty low currently, and there's a bit of desire to maybe sell. For some clubs, and like you said, the top two aren't there anymore. They don't have the dough to start going in and bidding stupid money on players like it was before, stupid wages on players like it was before, being frivolous with money. City do quite astute business for all the stuff that you know that's said about Manchester City. Their business is quite savvy. They've never gone over £60 million for a player. So, you know, and they do pay big wages. We know that, but PSG, you know, money's no object for them, and they're doing sort of what I like to say is risk-free transfers. Gini in on a free, you know, they've got Donnarumma in on a free, you know, they've got Sergio Ramos now on a free. So every single club is looking at ways that they can remain competitive, but pay the least amount of money as possible for these players.
That's the perfect segue to finish on a couple of transfer bits, because if we go to the social media page, there was an interesting quote that came out this week, and it was very much around FSG and their focus in the transfer markets, and it was very much around recruiting younger players. You know, the pandemic had ultimately hit revenues badly, and the wage bill had increased 95% to $325 million. And the fact that many players, as we've discussed at length, you know, are about to hit 30 and are in the latter stages of their time with the club, FSG are very much looking at a rebuilding cycle. And off the back of that, and I'll come to you, Phil, because I know you shared a tweet specific to this player. The news coming out today that Liverpool are interested in Jarrod Bowen from West Ham. Firstly, were you surprised by the news? Judging by your tweet, it seems like you're a fan of the player.
Yeah, do you know what? When I saw the...
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mental health.
The report, the light, I was thinking the light bulb never went with this lad, because we've talked about possible players to come in, but the more I think about it, like, he is a player that Klopp would love, because he'd run through a brick wall for you. Technically a very good player. He's only 24. He obviously, when he made the move from Hull to West Ham, it was pretty clear to see Hull's form fell off a cliff and they got relegated, and they've since gone back up to the Championship. But then he was an integral part of that West Ham team last season. Obviously, they did play a counter-attacking game. But I look and I think, a bit like Jota, where people were thinking, geez, I didn't see that one coming. And, you know, it's a bit of a strange one. But the more you think about it, the more it makes sense. And look, I know there's going to be plenty of people thinking it's not a flash enough signing. But who was posting a tweet today about he signed for the club a few years ago? Andy Robertson. People scoffed at that idea. They're like, he just got relegated with Hull. Jarrod
they
Bowen
both played great for Hull together, I think, didn't they, as well?
But so, like, have we not, like, one thing we've learned under Klopp is he improves players. So many players that, I remember Mane, for example, linked at Manchester United when Van Gaal was there, and I thought to myself, geez, that's a lot of money to pay for him. Then Liverpool signed him, and I thought, geez, that's a lot of money to pay for him. And then
36 million, wasn't it?
His debut then against Arsenal, like, jeez, what a bargain he was.
I was there. I watched all the goals and I was like, freaking hell, 36 million seems cheap.
He was unbelievable. And he was obviously jumping on Klopp's back. And then you're thinking, yeah, this guy is unbelievable. So, yeah, I think Bowen is actually a signing that could work. And he's not going to be a starter, but I think... I actually don't think it'll happen because I think a lot of stories are being thrown out at the moment, and it's something that Keith mentioned about the way these journalists are working. There is now so much... I'm going to have to mute here, lads. The TV is after coming on. I'll come back to you.
No worries, Phil. Take your time, Keith. I'll come to you because Gav, if you pull up if you pull up the average positions for Bowen, because I have to be honest. When I first seen it, the news kind of break, I was a little bit underwhelmed given some of the players that we were ultimately looking to target. And then I started to do a little bit of digging in terms of the player. He's obviously versatile. You can look at all the different positions that he's played. But then one thing that struck me, and I think Phil touched on it perfectly, he works really hard. So if you look at his average positions that he takes up when playing on the right, he's, you know, particularly when you compare the likes of a Mo Salah, who would often be high. He doesn't really offer Trent too much protection. Whereas a Jared Bowen, when you look at the average positions he takes up on the pitch, he offers a lot more protection. So that would allow Trent to overlap and be covered. When you kind of look at, you know, some of the things that Phil mentioned, the fact that he works hard, the fact that he's versatile, he can go left, he can go right, he can create, and the fact that it's very difficult to recruit a player that is ultimately going to be, dare I say it, fifth choice. When you look at the strikers that we've got the famed front three, we've got Jota that's come in, who hasn't really been given the floor yet to show what he can really do over a consistent period of time. When you look at it, and all things considered, and the fact that it would touch on the homegrown quota, is this the type of deal that you think would make sense for Liverpool?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think if you look at the player and the profile, Phil is right. He brings a lot of the attributes that Klopp likes. And I think very similar to when John McGinn was linked, I'm a huge John McGinn fan. And I think he brings the same sort of hunger and desire and fits a profile that Liverpool like. Andy Robertson is one that came out of nowhere and everyone was going mad about Mane. Salah. Everyone went apeshit about Salah because he'd flopped at Chelsea and we're like, we're paying 30-odd million for this fella. What's going on? You have to trust these lads that they're going to know what they're doing. Now, Jared Bowen, the stats, all that stuff, the profile, the homegrown element of it, yeah, I'm all over that. The problem I have with Jared Bowen being linked is... Jared Bowen went to West Ham for 20 million or 20-odd million. He's not going to come cheap. And I know, you know, we paid 40 million for Jota. I don't think we should be paying 40 million for a player to meet the homegrown quota in the squad. I think there could be better options for less money than Jared Bowen. I don't know any off the top of my head, but I'm sure there is a few. But as a player, I like him, and I think he's one that, you know, if you could do a deal, which you won't, I don't know what West Ham's finances are like, but, you know, if they want to do a straight swap for Divock Origi, I'd be all over taking Jared Bowen into the squad because of what he gives and the style of play that he has. I think he would settle in nicely. The only problem for me is that the price will be too high for his position in the squad and to fill a quota.
There's a comment that came in from Joshua Pritchard in the chat, and he said, how are you guys gassing up an average player like Bowen? I don't think it's a case of gassing up a player. I think it's trying to understand why that type of player would be linked for Liverpool. And I think it's been shown in the past that Liverpool don't always go for the conventional option. And I think it's interesting to try and see why, you know, this player would be on any type of list that we're looking at. Because let's be honest, Liverpool haven't got many transfers wrong. And, you know, James, if I come to you, when you look at some of the numbers, you know, he got 8 Premier League goals, 5 assists in 2021, that made him the 4th most productive player at West Ham and Liverpool combined. But an interesting stat is, of the 29 chances he created, 11 were big chances. And again, you know, like when we talked about Harvey Barnes, this was certainly something that I felt Liverpool were lacking, you know, last season in terms of creating quality chances. It felt like, you know, we were getting into the same areas and it was hopeful passes rather than maybe players that can break a line. And look, let's be honest, the more you play against Liverpool, the more we come up against two deep lines, low block, and it's very, very difficult to find space. So I'm not surprised to see the likes of a Harvey Elliott, coming back into the squad. And this type of profile of player who's comfortable going either way, can operate in tight spaces and ultimately create.
I totally agree with you, Jamie. And again, just a second, what you're saying about some of the comments in the chat. Unfortunately, you know, it's just not sexy. That's what people want. Yeah. You know, and I said it earlier on Redman, if there was an accent on the E in his last name, fans would be all over it. But there just isn't. He's an English player, he's got a bit of talent, he fits the profile, what we're after. We've seen it before, and there was a fantastic link on Twitter, which I saw the other day, and it was the news column for when we had the interest and signed Andy Robertson. And if you read back through the comments that are on there, it is absolutely horrendous, some of the stuff that was said when we signed Andy Robertson. And now look, we've got one of the best fullbacks in world football. Let's be honest. You know, if you look at Robertson's stats versus Luke Shaw, who was being raved about this year, Robertson tops him in terms of creativity and getting forward. And that's what we want from our fullback. So, like you said, Liverpool have been vindicated in the past, and we very rarely got a transfer wrong. The sticking point for me is the price tag. That's the sticking point. And again, we touched on price tag with the Sadio Mane thing and so on and so forth, and we've been wowed before. But to go out and pay probably what would be £40 million for a player that isn't a £40 million player, just would hurt me, because there's others out there available. I mean, some guys in the chat were referring to Rafinha. Yes, Rafinha is available, but unfortunately, Rafinha doesn't meet the homegrown quota. Liverpool are in serious danger of not meeting that quota. So there's probably a lot more that's going into this transfer than just Jared Bowen's ability. It's the whole package for Liverpool as a club. You know, he's the kind of player that Klopp can work with. We've seen that from his stats. His running stats are unbelievable. His goal involvement is absolutely fantastic. And arguably was a shining light in a West Ham team which has had a massive resurgence over the last year. I do believe there are other factors in that, but Jared Bowen was a standout performer along with him, with Thomas Suchek and Jesse Lingard and Mikel Antonio. They all performed at a decent standard. So when you look at his football from last season, you kind of think, do you know what? This boy has got a little bit of talent. He can potentially do something. And we've said it already, Klopp's ability to actually develop players and bring players on to that next level, that is priceless. There's not many coaches in world football that can do that. So if we are going to go out and get a player that's a Jared Bowen, that again hasn't got a sexy surname and doesn't excite all the fans, we're probably best placed to bring that player in and actually get something out of them and produce a player which is going to do what we need them to do. And arguably, if they go on the pitch and do the job for Liverpool Football Club, what does it matter if it's Jared Bowen, John McGinn or whoever else it might be? We've got to do what is right for Liverpool Football Club. And, you know, go out and get players that actually want to play for the shirt, that are going to run through brick walls for the manager, that are going to produce the results that we're looking for.
Phil, final question to finish, because this is something that Gav had mentioned on Twitter today after I'd put out a tweet about the show tonight and the fact that we're going to be talking about Bowen. And it's actually a sentiment that's been shared in the comments from a few people. Should Liverpool be ultimately looking to bring in a player that looks to replace some of the famed front three rather than somebody that would ultimately be a fifth choice, you know, coming in to replace the likes of a Divock Origi? Should we really be going all out, particularly if you think of, you know, James mentioned before, you know, succession planning and, you know, the fact that we've got players that are ultimately out of contract soon. Should we be going big with an attacker at this stage, or do you think a type of a Bowen player fits the bill?
Well, there's a few ways you can approach it. If you go with somebody like Bowen, that we know that he's already a very good Premier League player, but he hasn't hit a ceiling yet. He's 24. You think if Klopp gets a hold of him, he can bring him to a different level. And also, while he's doing that, you know, he can be a bit of a bit part player. But he also, you have the graphic up there of the different positions. He can play in a deeper role as well. So it's not exactly that he'd be a like for Salah, because he could actually, we've seen as well, he could play on the right. You could put Salah through the middle. You know, the front three can be changed up. Jota can come in there as well. What Liverpool need, if they want to be able to maintain a challenge in all these competitions, is to be playing. What we saw last season is, if Liverpool don't play at full intensity, then there's a serious drop-off. Obviously, injuries are part of that as well. But it's very hard to go out and buy a top-class, already established player, and they're looking at the front three and they're thinking, will I actually get into that team? So Liverpool have almost, the front three have created a problem for Liverpool, because they've been so good that when you sign for Liverpool, you basically have to prove that you can be trusted to replace one of them during a game, and then you can go to a new level that you can actually replace them in the long term. And so far, there hasn't been a player just like that just yet. But Jota showed glimpses before he got injured that, you know, he has a bright future at Liverpool. And somebody like Bowen could come in, and as I said, he reaches that ceiling of potential. Who knows? He could be a star for Liverpool. You take a risk with all these transfers, but as I said, to go out and sign, like, Mbappe is a player that always gets mentioned with Liverpool, but Liverpool are not signing Mbappe. And
don't say that.
Clip that out.
Yeah, roll to the credit.
We'll have to cancel that show we were doing on Kylian Mbappe tomorrow then.
Okay, Liverpool will probably not sign Mbappe.
This
is the thing, though, with transfers, is when you're linked to players like this, it gets fans excited. So Liverpool fans would have seen Jarrod Bowen and they would have been very underwhelmed by it today. They thought, Jesus, like, you know, finished third last season, need to close the gap in City, and we're in for Jarrod Bowen. And you could see the reaction. There was a few people that thought, you can see that it makes sense. I don't know if it'll happen. I said, I think there's going to be a lot of stories thrown out about Liverpool in the next few weeks, whether it's contract negotiations, players coming in. One thing we know is Liverpool is a massive club. If their name is mentioned in an article, people click. If their name is mentioned in a paper, people buy the papers. So I can tell you now that just we see it every day in work, that you go through the transfer rumours and you think, Liverpool are not signing that player, but it's great to be linked with. Manchester United have the same thing. Players get linked with them because it's a great negotiating block for a player that might get a move somewhere else. They're like, well, you know, Liverpool are sniffing after our player here, so if you don't move quickly. And then they sign for someone that is nowhere in the same stratosphere as Liverpool, and you think Liverpool are never after that player. But I think, yeah, I said, the more I thought about Bowen, I actually think it could be a successful signing. And if you want to take the price off it a bit, maybe you throw in an exchange, a part exchange, whether it's a Origi or a Shaqiri or a Harry Wilson.
I think you touched on something interesting there, particularly when you look at the heat maps. As I said, you know, the idea that Salah could potentially move central for some games and give us a different option, because I definitely think that Mo Salah, I actually really like him centrally. I think his ability to kind of, I think you see that there was a famed goal, I think it was against Leicester, where Harry Maguire got too tight. Mo Salah is an absolute expert at rolling players, you know, and centre-backs get too tight and then all of a sudden he's away, and then you'd get the industry, the work rate. of Bowen and his ability to go left and right. So be interesting to see how that one plays out. And I know people have scoffed at it, but I think when you look a little bit deeper, I think Sam Maguire did an excellent article that he shared today on it. And obviously Squawker, that we've got the graphic up at the moment, did an excellent article. So I would recommend anybody to go check them out, because it definitely does give a good bit of insight into the player aside from what we think we know. So there's definitely an interesting read there. Now, lads, we're over the hour. It seems like we got through the show without too many hiccups. Mm-hmm. Everything seemed to work perfectly. Gav has sat quietly in the background. Good job, Gav, if you can hear us. I don't know if you're going to join us, but super, super job. I know for a fact the hours that Gav has been putting in to try and pull not only this show, but this standard of show for all of the new shows that we've got coming for the season. So a tip of the hat to Gav. He's put in some sterling work. Now, lads, before we wrap up, obviously a big thank you to you all for joining us. Keith, Phil, James, absolute pleasure. James, before we wrap up, what have you got coming up on the Red Sea this week?
Got a few bits, actually. So on Thursday, we kick off with our second installment of our tier list. So what we've been doing is going through the team sort of from back to front. We've done the centre back tier list. We've done the wings. We're now on the centre midfield. So last week we discussed some of the top draw centre midfielders that we've had over the years, and we broke it down into two elements. So we had 12 last week. We've got 12 this week, and that's with our friends over at Football Focus. So, guys, don't miss out on that. That's going to be an absolutely cracking show. Heading into the weekend, obviously on Friday, we are here with yourselves on LFC Day Trippers, giving you your match reaction for the latest pre-season game for Liverpool. And, guys, we really, really can't wait to come over and do Red Sea full-time on that. I know that my co-host SS is absolutely buzzing. And you can see him in the comments, obviously, with the Red Sea podcast in there as well, getting involved with a couple of the other viewers in there as well. And then heading into next week, we're going to have Transfer Tuesday, where we discuss all the latest rumours that are swirling around for Liverpool Football Club. Gav joined us yesterday on our Transfer Tuesday instalment as well, guys. So if you obviously you're in the comments, head over to the Red Sea podcast, give us a like, give us a subscribe, and you can catch some of our content on there. And please, 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 please look out for our away kit review, which we're going to be doing next week as well. We're going to be delving into a little bit of heritage and history in regards to the current away kit. And if you want to as well, head over to my Twitter and the Red Sea podcast Twitter as well, and check out the Kill It Dead in Your Sliders football challenge. Yeah, get involved, guys. Send your videos in. I will retweet every single video that's sent to me. And, you know, I will pose a challenge back. So if anybody wants to take on Thiago's father for technical ability, challenges are welcomed.
Good man. And Phil, yeah, you're off on holiday for a couple of weeks, but delighted to say you're going to be joining us regularly of a Wednesday night for next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking a couple of weeks off. Still get to see a few games over there. And I'll be back with a new setup. Won't be as impressive as Gav's setup tonight. She's absolutely unbelievable. Because, look, I work in radio, and when things go wrong, no one can see the look of panic in your face. But when you're on screen and things go wrong, then you're up the shits. But it's been brilliant and seamless. So fair play, Gav. And I know he was probably blowing into a brown bag before the start of the show, but it's been absolutely classic and seamless. So yeah, but looking forward to the season ahead. Optimistic, seeing Virgil van Dijk and Joe Gomez sitting beside each other on the touchline last night definitely warms the cockles. And yeah, hopefully a couple of additions and that hunger and the crowd back, and Liverpool back challenging for the title and trying to win it again.
Good man, delighted to have you on board. So before we wrap up, big thank you to everybody in the chat for your comments as always. If you haven't liked the video, please make sure you do before you leave. And if you wouldn't mind just leaving us a comment underneath the video, let us know what you think of the new setup. And look, these shows are just as much yours as they are ours. We do them for you. So your feedback, what you want to see more of, what you want to see less of, what did you like, what did you not like, let us know, and we'll make sure we build it in. This was very much a test run ahead of the new season, and we're always looking to get better with every show. So leave us your comments underneath the video. Hope you've all enjoyed the show. Make sure you enjoy the rest of your week, and we will be back with you again next Wednesday on the Midweek Fix. All the best.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.